Good evening, everyone. Welcome to this year's Albion Fans Forum at the Amex Stadium. We're just under 48 hours from the new season as a trip to Derby County beckons. I'm Johnny Cantor. Welcome along for the evening. We're live on BBC Sussex. We're also live on Seagulls Player as well. We're going to be cracking on with your questions very soon indeed. But first of all, let's introduce the panel this evening, shall we, here at the Amex, who'll be taking your questions. I know you're going to give them a big round of applause, aren't you? Let's start off with our chairman, Tony Bloom. Over on our right-hand side, Chief Executive Paul Barber. And, of course, the Seagulls manager, Chris Hughton. Not a bad welcome, is it, Chris?
No, not bad at all.
Right, we're going to be dipping into the questions. We've got some on email as well, but of course I want to go straight into the audience. We'll get some thoughts maybe on the season in general from Chris and the team as well. But do remind yourselves, just put your hand up. We've got two guys with microphones on either side of the room who'll be coming around to take your questions. We've got an hour to do it in, so make sure you get your chance to have your question aired as well. Do say who it's for. Let's start over here on the right-hand side. I know we've got a question in the second row, just there with Simon.
Hello, gentlemen. It's truly great to be back. I just want to ask all of you, but mostly you, Chris, last season was both amazing and agony in equal measure. Apart from good fortune, do you think there was another ingredient that maybe we lacked just at the end?
I'll speak solely from a football point of view. So if I'll probably say two things. And I've been asked this question quite a few times, and over the season, what is it? If you're talking about an ingredient, what is it that's doing something a little bit different, that ingredient that would have got us over the line? So, of course, what you have to say is it wouldn't have needed a lot, the fact that we, in effect, missed out on goal difference. But certainly in the period where we had the run that we had, which was a fantastic run, I think, by anybody's standards. And, of course, amongst that run were quite a few draws, and certainly if only on one occasion if we were able to turn one of them draws into wins, then that certainly would have been enough. As regards right at the end, I think we never want to make excuses, because I think over a season, I think some things went for us, some things went against us, referees' decisions for. So it generally balances itself off over a period of time. But certainly, looking at the last few games, from the Derby game perhaps onwards, we had Lewis Dunk sent off in that game, which I thought was the right decision. We no complaints with that. Certainly the sending off of Dale Stevens at Middlesbrough, which to this day, still I don't and will never see that as a sending off. And of course that does have an effect on the game. It doesn't guarantee that we'd have got the win that we needed, but certainly that would have given us, at 1-1, would have given us an opportunity. And then into the playoffs, of course, the first leg of the playoffs is something that as a manager, a coach, or as a player, I've never ever experienced before. Four injuries in one game, and from that, I think the players deserved a lot of credit, because it is a game that's, in effect, it could have been over with. Coming back here and being able to come back here and put in a performance that we did, certainly if they got the goals that they needed in the first leg, then it almost would have been immaterial here. So some things went for us, some went against us, but certainly the injury situation at Sheffield Wednesday was probably the biggest blow out of all four games.
I guess in terms of off the field, Tony, do you want to elaborate maybe on if there was anything missing, or whether it was just a case of lacking a little bit of good fortune, perhaps?
Yeah, I mean, I just think our players were magnificent the whole of last season, and I don't think there was anything missing. I mean, in any other season, 89 points would have comfortably got us automatically promoted, so you can always look at the odd mistake and the odd thing. Obviously, if we'd spend an extra, you know, spend an extra £10 million on wages and had a few more players, I'm sure we'd have got an extra point, but that's a ridiculous way of looking at it. I just thought the players thoroughly deserved to get promoted, and it just wasn't to be. It just was one of those seasons where 89 points just wasn't enough. And in terms of what you were saying about it being an amazing season, I mean, I think it was truly amazing. I've been watching the Albion for 40 years, and it's definitely the best season of football that I've ever seen at this club, by far. And the amount of agony, there was a huge amount, and it was right at the end that we had the bites against Middlesbrough and Sheffield Wednesday, and it wasn't to be. And as Chris mentioned, you know, we got a lot of bad luck right at the end of the season. So I think, you know, over, including the playoffs, 48 games, I mean, I think there was only one game out of the 48 when I think the players just weren't up to their normal standard, and I think that that's really unusual in any level of football. So a complete massive amount of credit to the players and to Chris and his team, and we look forward to going again on Saturday.
Paul, do you want to say anything or on that one?
I think Chris and Tony sums said it all.
Okay, absolutely. Well, it's a good one to start off with, that's sure. Thanks very much for your question. It's always difficult to go first, so let's stay in the second row, but come on this left-hand side.
Oh, good evening, gents. I can appreciate your chagrin at the recent transfer disappointment, but with Paul's connections in the FA, is it not possible we can instigate or promote some sort of system that prevents clubs coming in at the last minute and skiboshing your expected men coming in? You know, it's... sucks, really, doesn't it?
Yeah. It's a good way of putting it. Let me just take that. I mean, we don't, as you know, we don't normally talk about our transfer dealings, but I think on this one, it's just worth sharing with you, you know, what happened. First of all, we took just about 4 or 5 days to negotiate with Tottenham Hotspur. You can imagine sitting across the table from my old boss was an interesting experience. Particularly when you're working with Mr. Levy, it's one thing when you're on his side of the table. When you're sitting on the other, it's quite another. But we got the deal done, and you know, it took a lot of talking, a lot of hard work, and a lot of backwards and forwards to get that done. And that's obviously one of the most important elements of any transfer deal, to get the selling club to agree to your terms. We then also took the step of getting the deal done with the player and his agent. So there's three elements to any transfer, and all those three elements were in place. The player was travelling to us. Some of you might know there was an issue on the M25 on that evening, which led to significant delays, and it was during that delay that another club jumped on the deal. Now, you know, you need, technically, according to the league's regulations, you need permission to speak to a player who is contracted to another club. It's not for me to say whether Norwich got that or not. They didn't. but you know, these things happen in football, and we're not naive enough to think that that they don't. But we had an agreement, and it's disappointing that we weren't able to close it. There's rules in place, as I say, to prevent that. But if you're Tottenham Hotspur, and by the way, they conducted themselves superbly. Even at the point at which the deal was being hijacked, Tottenham said, we're honouring it. But if the player won't come to you and sign the contract with you, then Tottenham are in a situation where they've agreed to let a player go, and it's their job, Daniel Levy's job, to then sell that player. And he's got to sell that player to a place the player will sign. So we are where we are. We move on. It happens in football. Chris and I and Tony, Paul Winstanley weren't happy, as you can imagine. But it happens. And, you know, the most important thing now is the rest of the transfer window and focusing on the players that want to play for us as opposed to a player that doesn't.
Thanks, Paul. Comprehensive answer to that one. Anyone else... we've got another one? Any other? Come on, this is going to be a long hour if we're only going to have two questions. There's one just at the back. Oh, maybe while we get our mic round to you. We'll come round to you. See, we've got two there. So we'll get our mic round to you just on the far side. Just in the blazer. Madam, we'll come to you in just a second. Just on the far right-hand side.
Hi, I'm Tony Parker from Lewis. I got a season ticket in the North Stand. I also come in this lounge quite a bit. Now, one of the best things about last season, especially towards the end, I thought, was the team spirit. And I was at both Middlesbrough and Sheffield Wednesday, and the reaction of the players to the setbacks, especially Anthony Knockhart when he did his ankle in, was absolutely immense. Are you going to be able to get that spirit, that team spirit, back into the team for next season, please, Chris, from the start?
Well, that's certainly the aim. What I have got is I have got a good group of players. And it was something that I identified reasonably early last season. I thought we recruited very well in the summer. Not just with the quality of the player, but the individuals. I thought we brought in some very good individuals in the summer. And that counts for a lot, because there is certainly one part on what you are able to produce on the football pitch, and that can be about quality and quality of player. These players work with each other day in, day out, and definitely the better they get on as a group can in some way lead towards what they can produce on a Saturday. So we brought in good individuals, I think, which is what helped. And that was aided, of course, with Knockhart and Skalic in January. So that's the first part. So that bit makes my job a little bit easier. But of course, it is about results. And there's no doubt when results are going well, there's a better feel in the group of players. It becomes easier to manage the players that are not in the team when things are going well, and that's something that we've had to work out all season. Even when we've had in our own form little dips, when perhaps we've picked up draws, when we felt we should have won, we've worked hard. We have a very, very good staff that work hard very much on what we can or what the players can produce on a Saturday. So that's the aim, is to do that again. But we do know that it's very much a results game. And because of last season, expectations have risen. But that's also with the players. You know, whereas perhaps we started last season, you know, thinking about challenging and making sure we can put ourselves in a position in a league that can challenge that top six or get into that top six and look for promotion, then of course their expectations are a little bit higher now. So it's all of our jobs, including this wonderful support that we've had all season to make sure that we raise the levels as high as we can.
Great, nice question. Just while we're talking about the fans, I've got one from on email here from Jack, just while we're on the subject. Just talking about, can we get the crowd singing from all the stands in the stadium? Is there any suggestions of maybe whipping up the whole stadium? I mean, I think everyone appreciates it's a good atmosphere, but is that something that you have to balance out, Paul?
Well, obviously, the game against Sheffield Wednesday, I thought the atmosphere in the stadium was probably the best I've heard since the four years I've been here. And you know, that was generated by you. We didn't really do anything to inspire that other than have a fantastic season that got us to that place in the first place. And I think there's a balance between what we can do and what you want us to do and what you need to do to get the atmosphere going. And I think most people that I've spoken to over the last 4 years don't want us to do too much. You want it to be organic. And, you know, it's still a new stadium. We've still got supporters that are joining the mass ranks that we've got and becoming Albion fans. You know, a lot of you have been here for a long, long time, but there's a lot that haven't. And I think it's going to take a while for that atmosphere to grow and to be boosted organically. But if there are things that we can do to help, then, as we've said many times, come forward with those ideas. But what we don't want to do is impose things that are artificial, you know, goal music or, you know, cheerleaders or whatever it happens to be. That's not what we want to do. We want it to come from you. And if we can support it anyway, we will do.
Tony, I'll just want to bring you in on that one.
Yeah, I mean, before the Sheffield Wednesday game, I mean, I made a plea to all the fans. I mean, it's obviously a huge game. It's going to be a great atmosphere anyway, to really build up the noise and create an atmosphere never to have been seen at the Amex. And you, the fans, did that and more. And so the big plea for this season is not just the very big games, but we need to create a bigger, louder atmosphere for as many games as much as you can do. No one's expecting it for a regular league game to be like the Sheffield Wednesday game, obviously, but it really makes a difference to the players, and it can make a difference over a season between automatic promotion and the playoffs. It really can. So it's absolutely key. The fans, all of you, enjoy a game with a bit bigger and a better atmosphere. So again, it needs to come from you, the fans. As Paul said, we'll do what we can, but it needs to come from the fans. So as many of you, however you want to do it, to actually get that atmosphere, you know, aiming for the Sheffield Wednesday game as the pinnacle, that's my plea to you this season. And hopefully we as a club and Chris and his team will do it on the pitch.
Thanks, Tony. It's 7:15. You're listening to BBC Sussex. It's a fans forum live at the Amex. Just a reminder to our listeners at home and out and about and those listening online as well. We're live right through till 8:00 taking questions from the floor here in the Mayo Wynn Baxter Lounge. Let's head back out into the audience. There's a lady down there with a question.
Well, to be honest with you, that email actually hijacked the question I was going to ask anyway, but I will continue from that. I'm Kay Collette and Nikki from Shoreham, and Johnny Cantor, good lad, quite often reads our texts out on the radio.
We
good
appreciate man. It, thank you.
I'm sorry, Tony, but I kind of disagree. Why can't we have that atmosphere every game like we did at the Sheffield Wednesday game? I mean, I quite often find that some of our home games, the atmosphere is so flat, there's nothing. I mean, I sit up in the North Stand, obviously we're very loud, we do our best, but it's all in pockets around the ground. I mean, Tony, we've talked about it on North Stand chat, the fans want to get together and try and have a bigger thing. I go to the majority of away games and the atmosphere's completely mental, and I think it really filters through to the players and makes them feel really, they just, you know, you can tell they're so passionate. We've got some I mean, the way some of our players have acted, you can tell that they love this club so much. I mean, Bobby Zamora with his hand in his heart at Leeds, and I mean, Liam Brisenois was just, sorry if I pronounce that incorrectly, but he was like, you know, they love this club, they want to really give the passion to this club. And is there something we can do more to make it more of the fans to be really loud? And I mean, I hate to say this as well, just quickly add this in, but we've only got to Selhurst Park, haven't you? I mean, their fans are vociferous, I'm sorry, but they're so loud. That's who we need to be like. Sorry, it's true.
One group of them are, yeah, one group, definitely. Well, I think it goes back to what we said earlier, that it's, first of all, it's got to come from you. We've tried on a couple of occasions to see if we can move groups of singing sections together, but in order for that to happen, other people have got to move. And so when you go to people and ask them to move and they won't move, it's very difficult for us then to artificially get involved. And we can't force people to move, really. It's not fair. So it's really got to come from you. And, you know, as I said, we'll do everything we can to help. You know, there's certain things we clearly can't do if the ground regulations don't allow us. But we will support you in any way we can to replicate that atmosphere. Because as Tony said, it was fantastic. And Chris remarked upon it, you know, many times after the game, it was intense. And that's what we want for every game. But as Tony said, it's hard on a Tuesday night, with due respect to Rotherham or whatever, you know, when it's pouring down with rain in a horrible November on the south coast, to get that same kind of intensity. But we've got to try, and we've got to give it a good go. And as I say, we'll do everything we can to help.
Lovely. Thanks, ladies. Nice question. Just before we go head over to the right-hand side, I just want to quickly, while we're talking about atmosphere, one of the first emailers actually came in a couple of days ago, for Tony and Paul it was specifically, but maybe you'll be able to enlighten us, because it does have an effect on atmosphere, is if the English FA were to use the Celtic safe standing as a trial and it would come back into English football, could you see Albion adopting that, Paul?
Well, you know, first of all, the Sheffield Wednesday game proved that you don't need safe standing to create an atmosphere. That's the first thing I would say. At the moment, it's a bit of a moot point because the legislation has to change. It's not the FA that has to make the decision, it's the government. And so at the moment, we're dealing with a hypothetical situation where we couldn't trial it even if we wanted to. The FA couldn't trial it even if they wanted to. So it would need a legislation change.
Right, OK. Hopefully that answers our emailer's question. Right, let's head back out into the floor here.
Yeah, hi. Martin Baldwin, I'm from Henfield. Just going back to what you can possibly do, our seats are in the 1901, but I go back to the North Stand at the Goldstone. I've been in the North Stand here, and I think people are a little bit reticent, if you're in the corporate type area, to join in with the banter and the singing. Sheffield Wednesday was an exceptional one-off game, and I think everybody sort of threw any caution to the wind and got behind the team anyway. But when I've been to away games, whether it's at, you know, we went to Anfield a few years ago, MK Dons last season, Sheffield and Charlton, everybody to a man was singing from before the game started to afterwards. So I think if you can get that across to the corporate section, not everybody wants to join in, but you don't want to, sometimes corporate is for the reason they don't want to join in, but a lot of noise was made on that Sheffield Wednesday game from the corporate section. And it's getting that out there, whether it's putting signs above the doors or as you come in, I don't know. But I think that made a big difference to the atmosphere. And I think that's probably one of the reasons you don't get what you had in that evening game then.
I think it was the beer sales that helped as well.
Chris, I was going to say, you know, you've played the game, you've been a manager in the game, club and country. Is there any atmosphere that's special to you that over the years that you look back and go, that was a moment that was spine tingling?
No, I think that's everywhere that I've been. You know, if we speak about the atmosphere here and Sheffield Wednesday. Now, if I look at my period, obviously I had a long period at Tottenham, and there would have been some exceptional nights there. But there also would have been lots of periods, you know, where the crowd levels weren't at that level. It's got a large amount to do with how the team are doing at the time. If the supporters are enjoying what they're seeing. But there are always going to be levels. The period I had at Newcastle, now Newcastle would hold 55,000, and when that's full and things are going well and they've got something to really cheer about, then that can be as loud as anywhere in the country. And I would hasten to say that probably our game here against Sheffield Wednesday, that people that have been to other games, other stadiums, would have looked at the atmosphere that night and say it's the best atmosphere that they've seen at a football ground. So I think that's the highs and lows. But I absolutely understand what you're saying. It's can we, you know, if we're looking at our average, you know, can we, you know, up the average, and what are the ways that we can go about doing that? So I think it's encouraging that you're thinking that way. It was a wonderful season last year, and we had some wonderful atmospheres here. But it's very difficult to get that game after game after game. And of course, you know, there is a difference between, you know, a full stadium here, or which is still a wonderful support, you know, a Tuesday night, 22,000. There is that difference. But I think it's very encouraging that you would like to see that at a level more often.
Great. Thanks for the question over there. Let's back to this near side by Mitch.
Hi, I'm Xander from Lancing. I'm a season ticket holder in the West Stand Upper. I've got a question for Paul. Cardiff City have announced that they'll be reciprocating Reading's 20s plenty policy for a price cap on away tickets when Reading travel to Cardiff at the end of the month. Are there any plans for Brighton to do the same when Reading visit in February?
Not at the moment. I mean, we had the 20s plenty last year when Cardiff came. And it was an interesting one because they were, as you know, campaigning outside the stadium for 20s plenty. The average ticket price paid by Cardiff fans that day was 18. So, you know, it's one of those things. Sometimes you have to look at the sort of the mix of the crowd that have attended that day, and you know, I've got a lot of sympathy with ticket prices for fans, because football's expensive these days, and when people are travelling all over the country week in, week out, it's a big cost, a big commitment. But we've also got to make sure that we're viable. We've also got to make sure that we're in a position where we can give Chris a competitive squad. And getting that balance right when you're already a loss-making club, it doesn't make a lot of sense to keep restricting, you know, the ticket price levels. We try and keep them as competitive and as reasonable as we can, the travels included, as you know. We think we offer a competitive price ticket. It's not the cheapest. It's definitely not the cheapest. But at the same time, we think it's a great stadium. Views are fantastic. The seats are great. They're comfortable. You've got great services here. And it's about getting that balance right between the income that we can generate and the budget that we can put on the pitch. And if that income drops too far, then it's gonna impact on what we can put on the pitch. And when it impacts what you put on the pitch, it impacts the number of people that come to watch. And then you're in a very, very dangerous, vicious circle.
Okay, let's go wide on that right-hand side.
David. I'm a season ticket holder from Seaford. That's the home of the ghost train. There are many, many hundreds of us that obviously come on the route from Seaford, New Haven. I have read some things in the paper about the plans that you've got in force, but can you just confirm how us lovely people in the Seaford, New Haven area, should the trains not come back to normal, if they ever do, how we will get to evening matches and weekend matches?
Sure. Well, first of all, as I've said publicly this week, you know, it's very disappointing that Southern have got us in this position. It's not for us to take sides in the dispute. We don't know the detail, and it's not our job to do that. But what I would say is it's impacting on a lot of people, getting to work, getting to school, doing their leisure activities. And for me, that's not acceptable. When industrial action and management failing to solve industrial action impacts on people's lives in the way potentially this strike will, I think that's unacceptable. And of course, we don't control the rail companies, so it's very difficult for us. We can only do, in a way, what you can do as customers. We're a customer, but we've tried our best to put in place some contingencies. And I'm going to ask George, our transport manager, if I may, just to sort of stand up and give you a very quick appraisal on what we've done.
Okay, well, if we could just meet, you just head over there and give George the hand the mic just briefly to explain.
Well, thank you, everyone. Having our football club with no railway is a very, very difficult operation to manage. However, over the last few weeks, we've managed to get additional parking, which will be announced tomorrow, the full extent of what we've achieved in the last few weeks. Over the O23 on one of the Brendon Equestrian Centre, we've got 350 spaces. We've got Sainsbury's in West Hove. They've given us half their car park for Friday night, which is another 150 spaces. Lewis Station, we're going to do a pick-up from now. We've got various things going on down at Brighton Marine. At Brighton Butter Pier, Madeira Drive. We've got 10 buses on a shuttle. We can't actually give you the full details this evening, primarily because we've got to have somewhere where the buses go. And we're working on that, and I think that will be announced tomorrow because I'm waiting for some details to come through. Very, very difficult situation. However, we're doing our very, very best for you people, and we will continue to do so. I've just heard this evening that the talks between the rail company and the unions have not broken down, thankfully. However, they've adjourned for the evening. They're going to go again tomorrow, and we're just hoping we get some resolution soon. But there's no doubt about it. Our football club about trains is a very difficult thing and extremely costly. Obtaining the buses is a very expensive operation as well. We've spent quite a lot of time, if the strike is cancelled, so we don't pay the full price for the bus. I was alluding to what Paul said, we don't spend the money aimlessly, we try and do it as sensibly and cautious as we can, but it's very, very difficult operation at the moment, but we thank people for their patience and we hope everyone takes up what we put on offer to come to the ground, because without supporters, as we mentioned earlier, it's very difficult for the team to perform. So thank you very much for your support, the people who have spoke to me already. Thank you.
Cheers, George. That's great appraisal. Thanks so much. Yeah. So obviously, watch this space, and I think details probably available over the next 24 hours as and when they come about.
I was just going to say, that chap a few years ago that told me I should buy some trains for the club, he was right, really, wasn't he?
He was.
We all thought he was crazy, but he was right. He was spot on.
Okay. Thanks again, George. Cheers.
From Worthing, I just really wanted to ask the panel generally, come the end of the transfer window, how confident are you that we'll still be able to retain the services of our players, given the amount of interest in them currently? Obviously, Anthony Knockhart, Dale Stevens, Lewis Dunk, Behram Kyle.
Tony, do you want to start off on that one?
First of all, because we were so successful last season and some of our players performed exceptionally well, it's no surprise that a lot of other clubs are interested in our best players. I mean, it's always the case, any club's best players there's going to be clubs in higher divisions interested, but particularly because we did so well and obviously we didn't get promoted. Our line is always the same, that we really want to keep the squad of players which did so magnificently last season together as much as possible to give us the best chance of promotion. But on the other side, I'm not saying there's any guarantees, because I don't think any club in the world, perhaps outside of Real Madrid and Barcelona, can give those sorts of guarantees. So we're just going to carry on, do our business, and, you know,